This is the Maternity Matters podcast from Riley Children's Health. Discussions to help you along the journey from the first trimester to your child's first year. Hi, everyone, and welcome to the latest episode of Maternity Matters. I'm Gabby Reithmiller from the Riley social media team. October is Pregnancy and Infant Loss Awareness Month. It's a time to really raise awareness about this and shed light on how this type of loss affects families in our community. So to learn more about this, we're joined by Rebecca Delaney, who is the program director for the Riley Maternity Towers Bereavement Program, known as Pathways to Hope. Rebecca, thanks so much for being with us today.
Thank you, Gabby. It's a pleasure being here.
Rebecca, I just want to start off by hearing a little bit about what you do in your role for our patients at the hospital.
Yeah, absolutely. So I'll be honest, that's a loaded question. This role really involves a lot, but I try to meet parents with where they are, regardless of where that is. It may be in our maternal fetal medicine clinic, or it may be here on L&D at the bedside. You know, when a mom comes in, there are no fetal heart tones and we need to deliver a baby. I do a lot of counseling with moms at bedside. I often tell families there's no playbook. You don't get a guide to how to navigate perinatal or infant loss. It's something that you experience moment by moment. And I tell families I am here for them and I am going to be that part of their brain and help them move through those moments. And so when I'm at bedside with them, we often talk about what are their options as far as testing, what are some things that they can think about that can include surgical pathology, it can include autopsies. And we discuss why would you have an autopsy versus why not? What are the pros and cons? We often talk about genetics and why some families want those and some do not. And so once we go through the testing, we often have to come to the funeral planning decisions as well. And again, as a mother, that's not something any mother wants to think of. It is one of the hardest decisions you make, knowing, you know, should I cremate my baby? Should I bury my baby? And so I walk that journey with them. We discuss it. There are times I help make that phone call because it's something a parent cannot do. It's just too traumatizing. And so that's one of the biggest things I do at the bedside. I just say, I'm their navigator. I'm going to be here. I'm going to hold your hand. And we'll get through this together.
Wow. And so I know that our team, I've heard of this, that they are able to create some memories for the parents while they're still in the hospital. There's things that are done. Tell me a little bit about the ways that you enable a mom, a dad, a caregiver to do something while they're still at the hospital that allows them to have something tangible to take home with them.
Yeah, absolutely. Memory making is one of the best parts of my job. I just truly treasure every moment that I get with families as we make memories together. Again, like I mentioned earlier, you don't get a playbook on how to go through this journey. And a lot of parents look at me and say, you know, we want to escape this experience forever. I don't want to look back. This is a moment of trauma. However, with perinatal and infant loss, we go through this identity crisis. And I tell so many mothers, you need to be able to walk back into that moment of trauma and you need to remember things. This is your baby. And so down the road, you think you'll remember these. You think you'll remember your baby's face. You think you'll remember his or her feet or hands, and you don't 10 years later. Loss rewires your brain. And so many things that you think you'll remember, you don't. And so I often help with bereavement photography. We take a lot of pictures. I'm a strong believer in family pictures. If there are other siblings, I really want to get pictures of the sibling, mom, dad, grandparents, baby together. It's important to be including siblings in the grieving process. Another big thing I do is hand and foot molds. Many parents tell me they just cherish those molds. You can hold your baby's hands, hold your baby's feet. Recently, I've been doing face molds. That's a new thing. They're very near and dear to my heart. You can see all the little features in your baby's face. So those are tangible items that parents get to take home. I also put a candle in those memory boxes. We have different pieces of jewelry, different little items that get donated, different blankets. So our memories look different for every situation, but it is my absolute priority to send everybody home with memories.
And just listening to you speak about this work, I can hear the passion and commitment that you have to this. So I'd love to hear, what is it that drives you to really be there for these families through this difficult time?
Yeah, that's a great question. So I've experienced my own grief journeys. And during my grief journey, as I've realized, people cannot do this alone. It's not something that you can do without supports. I've also had a lot of experience in my nursing career with death and bereavement. And because of that, that really just drives me. And when I look at statistics, those are a huge trigger. When I see statistics and see how society views bereavement as taboo, I know that has to change, and it can't change without a change agent. And that agent is me.
You mentioned the statistics there, and they are very powerful. So I wonder if you could share a little bit of information on how common it is to face pregnancy loss or infant loss, just to really let people out there know that, and that if someone is experiencing that, for them to feel perhaps less alone as they walk that path.
Yeah, absolutely. I would love to. Another thing I often tell families that I work with in the community when I'm talking to my family and friends is, these families, these mothers are initiated into this society of bereaved moms, of bereaved families, and they never wanted to be a part of it. And somehow overnight, they're in this club, the Bereaved Moms Club, and they have to try to survive grief in the midst of hormonal chaos. And I just want you to sit back and imagine, what would that do to your own mental health? And so when we talk about statistics, I don't know if you realize Indiana's infant mortality rate is the seventh highest in the country, and our maternal mortality is the third highest. Indiana, in our most recent mortality report that was published, suicide and mental health issues are identified as the leading cause of maternal mortality. Perinatal and infant loss increases a mother's risk of depression, PTSD, and suicide. Therefore, that makes bereavement support not optional in my eyes, but it is imperative. This is a battle cry. We need to get this out there. We need to help our community.
And so how do we move forward, right? You hear those numbers, and I personally am like, what can I do? We want to take action to help bereaved parents out there. So any insight as to how to really decrease those numbers that we heard that are pretty jarring?
Yeah, absolutely. When I talk to families, when I'm doing a lot of education, one thing I mentioned is 65 families in the United States are bringing home empty infant carriers every single day. So how does that impact me, and what is my role? One thing, so talking to mothers, when you are expecting, I encourage you to advocate for yourself. We are often our best advocates. However, there are a lot of times when you're pregnant, you don't really know what's normal and abnormal, right? And so you think, I don't want to bother my provider. Even if I don't feel my baby moving much, I'll just wait until my next appointment. Well, 24 hours of waiting when we're not feeling fetal movement is the difference between life and death. So one thing I encourage a lot of pregnant expecting mothers is download the Count the Kicks app. Count the Kicks. Really notice your fetal movement. If you notice anything that does not feel right, just anything abnormal during your pregnancy, don't brush it off. Take it seriously and get in touch with your provider immediately. So that would be those would be my words of wisdom to expecting mothers.
And then also, if someone's listening to this and perhaps someone in their life, a friend, a relative, has experienced pregnancy or infant loss, it can at times be difficult to find the right words or the correct way to assist them through that. So what advice can you share there to ensure that you're acting as a source of support and not something that perhaps is triggering these really difficult emotions even more?
Yeah, that is a really, really good question. Definitely a good question. One thing I hear a lot is just trite statements. I think we all feel our hearts go out to bereaved moms, But again, death is viewed as taboo in our society, and so we often skirt around it. I want you to know that avoidance and not talking about bereaved moms' babies often makes the grief so much worse. And so I would say be careful with what you say. Oftentimes I hear, it's God's will. Your baby is in a better place. You can have another baby, don't worry, you know, or you just had a miscarriage, or you really didn't even get to know this child. So just move on, just move on. All of those statements do not help. They make a mom's grief so much worse. Another thing I hear a lot of family members say is, I'm here to help you in any way. Keep in mind, a bereaved family, they've been through trauma, and trauma rewires your brain. After you have lost a child, you don't even know how to take your next breath. You don't even know how you're going to make it through the night. And so knowing how to tell family and friends how they can help is just about impossible, because you don't know how you're going to keep yourself alive in the moment. There's just so much going on. I always tell families and friends, be very specific and very objective when you're talking to bereaved families. Tell them, you know, I'm going to set up a meal train. Do you have food allergies? Do you have any, you know, comfort foods that you like? And just get it going. And just tell them Monday through Saturday, here's our meal chain. This is when you're going to get your meals. Another thing I say is, every family, we still need paper towels. We still need toilet paper. We still need our homes cleaned. When we're going through trauma, cleaning our homes is not the top priority, especially when you're going through a significant depression associated with loss. So just say, you know what? I enjoy cleaning. I will be there Thursday at 2 o'clock. If there's a specific room you want me to clean, I'm going to help out. Gas cards, food cards, gift cards. Those are all tangible ways to help grieving families.
Yeah. And how do you recommend navigating some sensitive events that can occur in the aftermath of a loss like this, right? Whether it's perhaps a baby shower that was coming up, or, you know, a friend who's announcing a pregnancy or has a new baby. Well, you know, of course you want to include your loved one in any family events, but also trying to maneuver this in a way where it's not worsening perhaps their mental state at that time.
I'll be honest with you, it's different for every person. However, I do want to circle back to, you know, be sensitive and keep in mind that these bereaved mothers do feel very isolated. I'll be honest, loss often changes relationships with families and friends very, very significantly. And so I encourage friends and families, you know, when you are expecting, when you are going to have a baby shower, give a call. Do not text. Do not email. Do not send something in the mail. Don't send that invitation. Just reach out personally, voice to voice, and say, hey, I'm having a baby shower. I know you're still going through a very, very difficult time, but I still wanted to let you know you're invited. I completely understand if it's too hard for you to come, but I wanted to know you're still my friend, and I want you to know you're invited, and I would still love to have you there, only if you feel like you're able to. And so being sensitive is the number one piece of advice I would give you, and don't just not invite them, because that just increases that sense of isolation. I'm not part of that mother's club anymore. Oftentimes I work with bereaved moms and they say, nobody includes me anymore. I'm just kind of a black sheep hanging out here. So they need to be included, but be sensitive. Unfortunately, with loss, you know, we're going to hear babies crying. We're going to see our friends expecting. We know that's part of our reality. But, you know, I just encourage you, acknowledge your friends, remind them that they're a mother also. Talk about their baby, keep their baby alive along with them. And that will often help navigate those sensitive times.
Yeah, some great advice right there. And I do want to share that there is an event coming up geared toward bringing awareness to this type of loss and to creating support for parents who are experiencing this. Could you tell me a little bit about the event that's coming up this month?
Yeah, sure. So Light the Night is on October 22nd. We are holding it at Fairbanks Hall at 6 p.m. And I will forewarn you, this is new. We have never done this before. It's an inaugural event. but it is for all perinatal and infant loss moms, families in Indiana. It's not exclusive to Riley. We want everybody to know that you're invited. And so we are having a memorial service. And in that service, we are going to honor all of our babies that were taken too soon. And then the service will conclude with a candle lighting. And we just want all of you to know you are welcome. Please come. There are also going to be vendors there, Shades of Becoming a Mother, PSI, our Indiana Milk Bank. And we're also going to provide a lot of community resources so you can see that there is support in the community. And we also want to use this to raise awareness.
What a good idea to have that and just to create a space where these families feel safe remembering their child and honoring that memory. So we will definitely include information for this event in the caption for this podcast episode if anyone listening wants to just jot down those details or have those handy for that day.
Great. Thank you. A couple Braids moms will also be speaking at the event. And so I just highly, highly encourage the Braids community to come. I want you to know you are not alone. And there is healing and support and healing in community. And I want you to know we here at Riley are committed to helping you through your grief journey.
Well, Rebecca, this episode has been eye-opening, and I hope that anyone who's listening that maybe needs this kind of support learns through these words that it is there for them and that people like you are around here in Central Indiana to be by their side through this.
Thank you, Gabby. It's been a privilege joining you today.